Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 238, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Of course, I am Chris Featherstone. As always, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Facebook and at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. 238 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we have interviews every week on the show. And, you know, I really handpick my interviews specifically because I really get interested in knowing just the careers of people who are legends, people who have a pedigree. And just like wondering, you know, just people who came from legends and just soaking in their expertise to become a wrestler themselves and just their experience of being a second or a third generation wrestler. This person did very, very well in Florida Championship Wrestling, winning the heavyweight championship. He is the son of one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and my personal top three favorite wrestlers of all time, one of my top three favorite wrestlers, Ricky Steamboat. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring on the show former Florida Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion, Ricky Steamboat. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I have a four-year-old, and a lot of people who listen to the show know that I have a four-year-old, and my youngest will be two in January, and it's both of them are so incredibly handsome, and my one year and 9 months old, he's gotten to the point now where he's in the affection stage, and he'll just randomly give my wife and I kisses. And he's just so irresistible. I think he had a daycare bug, and he was sniffing and coughing last week, and we were still kissing him. My wife survived, but I end up having coughing so much that and sniffing so much that I lost my voice this weekend. But I feel better, and I'm here, and I'm glad to speak with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can definitely relate. I've got a 5-year-old, and another little boy on the way due in March.
Nice.
So I definitely understand the daycare bug and how that goes, man. You can't resist those little ones, especially your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, if anything, it gives me immunity. So it makes me more immune to, you know, those bugs when they come around, so I can, not be as sniffy and coughy next time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of daycare, Bug, you were a child of such a legend. Before we get into your awesome career at FCW and NXT, you know, it would behoove me to not talk about your awesome legendary father, WWE Hall of Famer Ricky Steamboat. Now, explain to us how it felt to be carried as an infant to the WrestleMania. I mean, it was him against Valentine, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes. You know, and I'd like to say, you know, thank you very much for the introduction and everything and the appreciation you've shown to my father and for what he's done in the professional sport of professional wrestling. You know, that moment was so surreal to me. And as a child, you don't quite understand everything, and you see people screaming and yelling and clapping and grabbing and trying to just touch him, and he's holding me, and it was kind of a little bit of a scary experience, to be honest, you know, because it's like, you know, you're thrown into this environment with, you know, 90,000+ people, and you know, I was kind of, you know, around the business for a few years before that, and you know, it's kind of a new thing. But I'll tell you, it was what a great experience that was. And growing up, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, what is it like being the son of, you know, a WWE Hall of Famer, someone that arguably had one of the best matches in wrestling history, Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage, WrestleMania III. And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, to me, he's just my dad. Just like you have a dad, and you know, all of our listeners have dads and parents, and you know, we come over for Christmas and we have, you know, dinners together, and then we argue sometimes, and we get along, we laugh, we love, we live life. You know what I mean? Like, to me, he's my dad, and foremost, he's a great mentor in my life. He always has been. I appreciate so much from what he's done for our family and the sacrifices that he's made in the ring, and you know, the time away from home that he spent, you know, because, you know, as a young kid, he caught that bug, that passion, and you know, as a kid sitting in front of a TV watching a wrestling show, Mid-Atlantic days, or even today at WWE TV, you know, you find yourself getting those goosebumps and those feelings of, man, you know, that could be me.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. You know, that's so cool. I wish I could do that. And you know, that's just that instinct that takes over you. And, you know, right now I've got the goosebumps myself. It's just something, it's just part of you. And when you catch that bug, you know, you realize that this is your passion. And when you're so passionate, like my father and I are about wrestling, you know, it's just natural for us. You know, my father was raised a very hardworking middle-class family, always to do, you know, to be honest and do the right thing. And I was raised the same way. And when you have, you know, you're a hard worker, you have a great family behind you that supports you, and you have passion, you know, that's really all you need to succeed in anything in life. And that's something I'd like to say to all the listeners, you know, whatever you guys want, whatever you're doing, whatever you're passionate about, give it everything you have, because that is the most important thing you can do. And if you want to succeed, I can guarantee success with hard work.
Absolutely, man. That's such an inspirational thing, because I know for me, I'm actually a PhD student now. And, you know, it's one of those things that the only thing the only thing that stops you from the start to the finish line in most cases is you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
A lot of times people think a thought or a dream is so insurmountable, you know, that it just seems like, you know, the process is so overwhelming. But when you – I have to tell people this all the time. When you learn how to celebrate in phases, the road isn't that bad, you know, and it's And that's what I'm
small victories. Find. Small victories will get you to success.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. You know, it's the ladder of success comes with rungs, and you have to step on each and every one of them. So, you know, and I think a lot of times we overlook and we underappreciate those rungs, and you know, that's some great inspiration there. I appreciate that. So you were born in the later 80s, you know, and through about 7 years, you missed the really, really good, hearty NWA territory wrestling. But you were able to pick up on the early WrestleManias, like, you know, you appeared as well as the early 90s WCW. When your father was there as well. Did you ever, you know, as a wrestling, you know, someone who's passionate about the business, how were you able to kind of relive those moments? You mentioned Mid-Atlantic, NWA, things like that, where your father absolutely thrived. Were you, you know, are you one of those historians who look at tapes and things like that to, when you were wrestling, to really hone your craft and help you out with that?
Absolutely. You know, to know where you're going, you have to know where you've been.
Yeah.
And, you know, in professional wrestling, even as far back as the 50s and the 60s, you know, understanding the business and where, how far it's come and the changes that have happened over the time, you know, everything is now kind of basically consolidated into one large company, WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I'm so grateful for them. They've been awesome for me and my father. I couldn't say anything bad about them. They've been great. But, you know, going back to, like, the territory days, you know, and watching film, you know, that was kind of where I got a lot of my passion from, because as a young kid, I was born in 1987,
mm-hmm.
And my dad retired in 94. So I didn't get a lot of years being able to watch my father live on TV. So I would go back through old footage and watch things, and not only his wrestling match. You know, I would watch the Four Horsemen, the Tully Blanchards, you know, Harley Race, all the legends of our sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to miss somebody. I'm not, you know, there's many, many legends, you know, I don't want to disgrace anyone or say any, you know, miss someone's name and not speak of them. But, you know, there were so many people that were influential in my career. You know, going into it, I sat down with my dad, you know, I was 19, and I had a decision to make. I had a decision to either go play football at Clemson University as a linebacker, which I had a full scholarship, or I was going to go into the professional wrestling field, and I was going to pursue, you know, a lot of people say your father's footsteps. I don't like to use those words, but, you know, that's a lot of the way that it's worded. You know, and I sat down with him and he said, you know, Richie, I've raised you. You're a man. He says, you're going to have to make your own decision for yourself and what you do in your life. And that was really the first time he kind of gave me the reins and let me make my own decisions as far as, like, you know, like the big life changing decisions. You know, going back as a kid, I've always been involved in wrestling since I was 5 years old. I was an amateur wrestler. I've won 5 state championships. I won a national title as an amateur wrestler. I was on an all-star, junior Olympic team. I've done a lot of things. I've always been a wrestler. That's kind of my, you know, I've always been a wrestler and an athlete, and football was a passion that I had in high school, but it didn't go far enough back for me to connect, you know, a life-changing thing like that. So I decided, I said, Dad, I said, I want to do what you do, you know, and, I don't want to just, you know, learn from you, you know, as much as you know, I want to try and experience it the way that you experienced it, you know. So from the get-go, we had a plan, and that started here in Charlotte. I wrestled I did some training with the NWA legend, George South.
Yep.
He was a great worker, great guy, and has always been a great friend to me. Still to this day, I talk to him at least once a week. I started my first 6 months with him and really got some good fundamentals and basics. From there, I was able to go out to Missouri and live out there in the Lake of the Ozarks, where Harley Race has his school. And I got
WLW, often
WLW. And, you know, being able just to, you know, have Harley in the building, you know, and you're in this warehouse and he's just sitting at a table drinking a cup of coffee and he's watching everyone work. And just to be able to go over and ask for his advice, you know, the legend, Harley Race.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me, that doesn't get much, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, I idolize the man. And being able just to go.
Now you work with Tommaso Ciampa there, right?
I did. Yes, I did. You know, just being able to go to him and talk to him about, you know, what I needed to improve or his ideas and just pick his brain was just, a very humbling and amazing experience for me. So, I was there, for about 6 months, and he has an affiliation with Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan.
Yeah.
And, they came over and they did a show and they were kind of scouting talent and stuff like that. And, luckily I was picked to go over and live in the dojo in Japan. So I then, packed my bags. I kept my little apartment I had there in, Missouri. And, I flew over to Japan and lived in Tokyo in the Pro Wrestling Noah dojo for 3 months. I think I was probably 21 at the time, maybe 20. What a life-changing experience that was, in a culture shock for me.
Yeah.
Not just the wrestling aspect of it, but just the whole Japanese culture. I have Japanese in my blood. My grandmother is full Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first experience in Japan, and what a wonderful time I had with the culture and the fans and the friends that I made there. But the wrestling is much different than it is here in the States. You know, it's on the front page of the paper next to the sumo wrestling and the baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real sport. And I'll give you an example. The first thing that they asked me when I got to the dojo, when I put my bags down, they asked me if I had a mouthpiece.
Wow.
Because every single night, every show I went to, there was multiple people getting knocked out, shoot knocked out every single night. And I mean, it is legit. I mean, it was quite the experience for me. They call, you know, a young boy or an American is called a gaijin.
Gaijin, yep.
Yep. And, you know, as a young boy, you know, I went over to Japan with probably a year and a half experience, you know, and was given this awesome opportunity and, was humbled by the whole experience and learned so much, and just the whole wrestling side of it by itself opened my eyes to a whole different thing that, you know, before I didn't really understand. Now you can watch as much film as you want, but if you're not there and you don't experience it, you know, it's kind of hard to compare. I wanted to go to all these different places and try and learn the way that my father learned, way those all these legends had learned. And I picked up so much from Japan. I love those guys so much, and I appreciate them all. After my stint in Japan, I went back to the States, and I think I wrestled some indie promotions for about a month, and then was fortunate enough to go over to England and wrestle in England for about 3 months for Brian Dixon. And I wrestled in Ireland, England, a few other places. Did a lot of the Butlins shows. I don't know if you're familiar with England, but they have these holiday camps. They're called Butlins, and they put on these shows for the fans. So you get a lot of people, maybe 1,000 people, but they're all there for the festival and the camp and the rides and everything else. But it's a great experience because you get a fan reaction and you understand like what exactly I'm doing in the ring, and I just slammed this guy down on the mat and I get this great reaction from the fans. All right, what do I do next?
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, and the English style is much different than a lot of other places. It's kind of like Mexico. It's very fluid, very seamless kind of working together. And it just has this great storytelling ability about it. And I learned a lot there and came back to the States and wrestled for about another month and a half and went down to Puerto Rico and wrestled for Carlos Colon for 3 months. So I really wanted to, you know, going back to learn the way that the legends learned, because that was, you know, that's where they got, where they were in their position. You know, they didn't just have one style. They, you know, they got to wrestle guys from different territories in the States, from overseas, everywhere. So, I got to actually, my last night there, it absolutely is the coolest match I've ever had. I tag team with my dad. Man, I'll tell you what. When I say we blew the roof off the place, we did. It was an awesome night, man. It was making the hot tag to the old man was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so funny about that because I remember watching WrestleMania 25 when he came back and wrestled in that match against Jericho, the handicap match, and then the following month was just the singles match. He was so over on 25 getting that hot tag and, you know, the whole "you still got a chance." You know, it's just one of those things that if you, you know, he's known as being one of the greatest and most inspirational wrestlers of all time. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 20 years after, you know, being a full-time wrestler. If you got it, you got it. And you could tell, you know, during WrestleMania, during that WrestleMania season, that he was itching to come back, you know, and just have that moment. And he sure did. It was as a fan, as he being one of my all-time favorites, it was just absolutely fantastic and amazing to see, you know, because, you know how it is, man. You have ancestry. You have a heritage of being a pro wrestler. You see it. You see a lot of names. You see a lot of legends who unfortunately don't have it anymore, and they're in their 50s and their 60s, and they're going out there because they have to make a buck. You know, but, you know, when it's awesome to see that he didn't have to step foot in the ring again, but he did it because he loves the business and he wanted to please the fans and to be able to wrestle, you know, 2 months in a row, and especially that match against Jericho. It was absolutely amazing. What were your thoughts on him coming back for that season?
You know, him and I, we sat down and we kind of, you know, I instigated the conversation. I sat down with him and, you know, he had given me this idea of him coming back. And first of all, let me tell you a little something about my dad. If he's got an idea in his head, he already knows that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he would never come back and do something, you know, 50% or 75%. If he didn't think he could be at, you know, 85, 90%, he would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sat down and we talked about it and he asked my opinion and what I thought about it. And I said, you've kind of been there and done that. I said, if this is what you want to do, go for it, do it, you know, and I don't know how much he took my opinion to heart. You know what I mean? I think he was just asking his son what he thought. You know, I think he already had his mind made up on what he wanted to do. And, you know, after that WrestleMania match, I was there, man, what an incredible night that was. It was amazing to see as an adult being able to see my dad perform. And then even after that match, my dad wrestled on probably about 10 or 15 house shows, with Chris Jericho, and they went from town to town and they did, I mean, it, you know, it wasn't just, you know, WrestleMania and Backlash. There was quite a few matches in between there that he wrestled. And I'll tell you, at 56 years old, being out of the ring for 20 plus years, be able to come back in. And I'll tell you, especially the Backlash match, in 2009, I mean, he outworked 90% of that locker room.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you. And I'm not saying that because he's my dad. That's honestly, as a fan, that's how good he is at what he does. At 56, he could outwork 90% of the boys in that locker room. And, you know, I would love to see that, you know, if it could be any better, you know, with my dad in his, you know, early 30s with Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, or the reactions that fans would get from just the way he carries himself in the ring and what he does. I think it would be truly amazing. Not to say that when he did it, it wasn't amazing, because it was, but it was quite an experience. I loved every second of it. I mean, it was so cool to me. It was just, it was an awesome day and an awesome night. And, I was so proud of him, and I know he wanted to come, he wanted to do it because he, like you said, he had that bug, and he was kind of, you know, the night before he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he was feeling it. And, you know, I could tell, months ahead of time that he was thinking, the wheels were turning in his head, and it was an awesome experience. And I'm so glad that he got to do it, because, yeah, you know, not many people can come back and be able to do it like in the style he did.
Yeah. Now, you know, speaking, and that's a good segue to my last question I have for you, is that, you know, of course you had a successful run in FCW, becoming the heavyweight champion, and just, you know, being in the same ring with a bunch of successful names that we see right now, such as Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, you know, and it's just, it's absolutely amazing to see just how they really groomed you to really carry that Steamboat moniker. Now, unfortunately, you had to end your career, you know, pretty abruptly, because of your back. Now, you have, you know, kind of teased that you're kind of getting that itch again. Is there an opportunity for us to see you back in the ring? And then, you know, of course, Chris Jericho's still around. Maybe we could see a Richie Steamboat versus Chris Jericho match.
You know, I've been doing a lot of interviews and a lot of podcasts and things like that. You know, right the last few years, you know, I had a back injury. Like you said, I was Florida heavyweight champion. I was also tag team champions with Seth Rollins.
Yep.
I was the Jack Briscoe 15 champion as well. I held every title in FCW. And I was really given the position going into NXT and this new endeavor that they were starting, you know, with Full Sail University at the time, and crowning the first ever NXT champion. I was given a role model place in that, and I was very comfortable in that position. Like I said, I kind of have traveled the world and been able to do a lot of things in my life. Very fortunate for that. And you know, I'll tell you, man, what a bad timing for an injury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not only would I've more than likely, you know, gone further in the tournament from the semifinals to the finals, but, you know, speaking to you now, I would definitely be a champion, an Intercontinental champion, the WWE champion, the heavyweight champion. I would be, you know, or have multiple titles at this time. You know, the injury couldn't have happened at a worse time for me in my career. It was really getting to the point to where, things were taking off, and they were, you know, all the hard work that I had done for so many years was paying off. And I was having a feud with Cassius Ohno on NXT, and I had injured my back doing a moonsault. And I landed wrong, and I lost feeling and everything from my chin down. And I could still move everything, but I couldn't feel anything. And over the next few days, feelings started to come back to me, and I wrestled through it. You know, I worked several more weeks, and really kind of kept my mouth shut about it because I was given this position and I wanted to make the most of it and didn't want to give up that opportunity. And it just got to the point to where I could, at the time my son was like 2 years old or three, and I couldn't even pick him up, you know, and how would I be able to go in and do my job? And I really sat down and I talked to the WWE doctors and discussed things with them. And I flew up to Pittsburgh and saw some specialists and things like that. And the best idea for my career and my future would be to kind of put the brakes on for a little bit, and get some things fixed in my back. I've had a few back surgeries and really just take some time off for myself and kind of rehab and kind of get back to where I could, you know, because I was almost paralyzed. I'm lucky not to be in a wheelchair. So I feel very lucky, and I want to be there for my kids and my family.
Yeah.
For me personally, that's number one in my life is my family and my kids. And I'll tell you, I've had so much time, so much fun spending time with them over the last couple years, being home, not traveling, not being in 200 cities a year and doing all these shows and missing birthdays and Christmases. And I've really enjoyed that time, but I've always had that itch for wrestling. You know, something has always been missing from my life. So, you know, a few weeks ago, I started an official Facebook page. There's several other ones out there that are like fan Facebook pages, but this is my official page. And you can, I wanted to be involved in the sport somehow. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I'm never going to wrestle again. And I'm not saying I am going to wrestle again. I just right now I want to be a part of the sport, in any way I possibly can, because it's a gap that's been missing in my life for a few years now. And I'm doing a lot of personal appearances. I was in New Kent, Virginia last week, and the week before that I was in Lenoir, North Carolina. And I'm kind of limiting myself to two a month, just to kind of give myself some time to get back in the groove of things. And I've seen a lot of old friends that I haven't seen in a while. I've really been enjoying myself. The next month I'm in Beech Mountain, North Carolina, and then I go up to, Chicotee, Virginia. And I'm actually doing an autograph signing with my dad, in Chicotee. So that's going to be really cool, to have a father and son together. I feel good. My back feels good. I've really been listening to my body and how I feel. I weigh about 215. I love the sport of wrestling. I love all the fans and I appreciate everyone so much and everything that they've given to me and, their cheers and their, you know, everything that, goes along with the sport. And I just feel like I need to give back, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. It's been 4 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah. We need you back, man. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be the person that, tells you something you don't know. But as a journalist and as a wrestling fan, my two cents is that, you've got a really awesome banner to carry, and you know, if you're healthy enough, man, and you got that itch, we will definitely take you back with open arms as fans. So, wish the best for you, man. And I understand. I had back surgery too, and unfortunately, I'm looking to have another one here coming up very soon. So I understand how it is to have back problems, and me being I spent, a number of years as a trainer and, I still work out 5 days a week, but just really trying to get back into my, my old, intense, crazy intense workouts that I can't do because my back. And so I understand, man, it's just one of those things that your back is so sensitive and you don't want to re-aggravate it. Right now you're just putting your feet in the water and, testing the water. So I think that's a smart idea, man. So, I totally commend you, for just carrying the legacy, with such, success, of the Steamboat legacy, man. And, We wish the best for you, man. Where can we find you on Facebook or any other social media?
Right now, all I have I appreciate that very much. And right now, I only have a Facebook account. There are, like I said, several fan pages. But if you go, if you go through them, you can definitely find which one is mine. I post a lot of stuff. I talk about my family, and you'll really be able to tell. I don't have a Twitter account yet, but like I said, I've only been really back in the game for like 3 weeks now. And I've got over 20 bookings from now until March just for some appearances.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about being a part of wrestling again and giving everything I can give back, because the sport has given me so much and the fans have given me so much.
Mm-hmm.
To me and my family, and just so appreciative and humbled by everything. And, if any promoters are interested in booking me on a show, they can always go to my Facebook page and go through those channels to get a hold of me. I just really appreciate everything that you're doing and that all of the fans are out there doing, asking the right questions, finding out really what's going on in my head. And, I've never lost the itch for wrestling. I love wrestling. It will never get out of my body, I'll tell you that. It's in my blood, as you can say.
Literally.
I would never in a million years just, be able to forget about wrestling and never speak of it again. So,
yeah.
Like you said, I'm testing the waters. I'm trying to see where I'm at physically. And, my family comes first. That's for sure. But I'm doing things, nice and slow, taking my time. Hey, if my dad can come back at 56, I've got quite a few years left in me. So, we'll see what happens. I really appreciate your time and getting my story out there.
Absolutely. Richie, it's been a pleasure, man. Keep me posted on any dates, and you're always welcome back to give us an update, man.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a great night.
Fantastic. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, our mind, let's go. The whole squad is making it clear, we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys way. Outsiders with the swoop in, we live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo, cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, you and God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we repping that wolf pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You through, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Episode 238, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, live and living, Culligan, Punga, like a monkey in the wheel. Thank you so much for Richie Steamboat on the show. And we got a lot to talk about, man. So once again, as always, we got some people coming in from Facebook Live. This is the second time. We will do this Facebook Live at least until through election season, so for the next few weeks at least. We got Patrick saying go Dodgers. I was talking some MLB yesterday on the show.
I'm doing fantastic. First question off the bat, how does the mic sound? It's new mic.
You're good to go, man.
Okay, cool. I was really worried about that.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to presidential talk.
Wrong.
That is absolutely.
Wait a minute. The political hacks. Let me tell you, she's not hacked.
Secretary Clinton.
Wait, I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Facts by your people, many of which are absolutely untrue. Bad deals, but it's bad experience.
Bad, but it's bad.
And I don't deserve that.
Absolute
wrong.
True.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, I'll let you start out, Todd. I know you've been a top investigator for WikiLeaks lately. So, what are your thoughts on just the news about that the past week?
Well, I've been totally chomping at the bit all day long to talk to you about it, but you've been riding high on that Goldberg high, so I haven't really had a chance to chat with you too much about it because that's all you wanted to talk about, which is fine. I realize Goldberg's important, wrestling's important, but I happen to think that, you know, the leader of the free world, the next leader of the free world, is just a little bit more important from time to time. And there has been just a ton of stuff coming out left and right out of the WikiLeaks information. And now James O'Keefe, who's famous from the old Acorn videos, if you remember those, has done a new set of videos where he has caught the Democrat operatives, the actual Democrat operatives, people who work for the DNC. Well, not DNC. They work for super PACs that work through the DNC, and it's really kind of a tangled mess where they're basically – they've come out and they say on videotape that the violence that we've seen at the Trump rallies, that was paid agitators from the Democratic National Committee. People paid not just to go and cause trouble, but to get people to punch them so they can say, oh, look how bad Trump people are. Look how bad these people are. And it's just blowing my mind that people are just not picking up on this, and more people aren't. Well, it's starting to get some steam. It's gotten to the point now where CNN's starting to report it a little bit because it can't be ignored anymore. It's becoming too overwhelming where it can't be ignored. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And with those reports, the lead ranged from 4 to 12 points as of a couple of days ago. I think Monmouth had her at 12 points. I think CNN had her at 4. But here's the thing. Even with those WikiLeaks, she had a 4-point lead, CNN. Now it's up to 7. So, you know, even with that, how does it explain that she's actually gained 3 points of that information being exposed?
Well, I think, honestly, this is probably not going to get me any fans around anywhere ever. But I'm just convinced that the American public are brain damaged. I mean, seriously, I'm sorry, but how can you look at, I mean, there's an overabundance of evidence that she has cheated. She has been cheating since the beginning. She cheated before it even started. She was conspiring to take out Bernie Sanders. And at no point, here's the thing, at no point during all this WikiLeaks thing has anyone come back and said, you know what, this isn't true. Well, almost no one. There's been one or two, a little smattering of it, saying it's not true. What they're harping on is where the hack came from, not the actual information.
Right.
Not that, hey, we didn't work. We weren't working with the DNC against Bernie Sanders. We weren't trying to stop. No, they're not saying that. They're saying, oh, they're working with Russia. Russia's trying to influence. Who cares where it came from at this point? Or to quote a politician, what difference does it make at this point? You know?
Yeah.
Who cares where it came from? The fact that it's out there, the fact that it's true, that's the important thing. Or could even could be true. And the very fact that the American people just want to ignore that, just want to ignore the fact that this is going on, and you're supporting that. Now, again, not a huge Trump guy, but there's some truth to his words at this point when he's talking about the corruption that runs rampant through D.C. I mean, we all just assume it happens. But here's a guy calling it for what it is, and we're rejecting him because he said some awful, crude things years ago. I don't know, man. I am so torn right now what I'm going to do in a couple weeks, because I feel like it's almost my civic responsibility to do everything I can to try to stop her and stop her from getting in that office.
Yeah. It looks like it's at the point of no return right now, man. But so this is how I feel about Hillary Clinton. Okay, so actually on the Donald Trump as well. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both are the two worst candidates that we could possibly have. So with that being said, the people chose Donald Trump. The people chose Hillary Clinton. Okay? So I have somewhere to put the people who voted for Donald Trump. I have somewhere to put the people who voted for Hillary Clinton. Two people. Two people in office. One of these people is going to win. You know what I'm going to do with the people who voted for Trump and Clinton, as well as Trump and Clinton? You know what I'm going to do with them? You know where I'm going to put them?
You just made the list!
You just made the list, ladies and gentlemen. So that is
a lot of people have made that list this week.
That is my introductory list recipients. So, oh, very interesting. Got a comment here on Facebook Live saying, too bad Americans wouldn't be ready for Jesse Ventura or Obama to get third term.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You know how you feel about
both those ideas.
Old Jesse, man. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. It really is. It's really going to boil down to, you know, three more weeks left. Is Clinton's in the driver's seat? You know, what could happen for her momentum to completely shift within the next 3 weeks? I got a comment. If Trump gets elected, Biden will run in 4 years. So I think that, you know what, the next four years, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. The next one term. So who would be the first person other than people that I said, who would be your choice?
Who would be my choice?
Yeah, who would be
I would
choice?
Have it's a three-way split for me, honestly, between Mike Lee, Pence, and, of course, Ted Cruz. I think either any three of those people are good constitutional conservatives. They're, you know, they're old-school conservatives, and they stand for something. And while they have personal beliefs that may go, you know, fly in the face of some popular beliefs right now, Cruz acknowledges, hey, you know what, I don't particularly care for it. It's not part of my religion. But the law of the land states that gay people can be married. So he has that square head on his shoulder that can say, you know, I don't agree with it, but it's not my personal choice. I don't get to decide every law that this land has.
Yeah.
Unlike some people. Now, what do I see happening? I don't see Hillary. You're right. I don't see Hillary making it to a second term. I see if she doesn't have health problems like, you know, she seems to have, and God forbid she passes away from illness or whatever, Kane taking a nomination, I see it going back to the Obamas, and I see Michelle running.
Interesting. I think Blog Talk Radio is having some technical issues, so I'm going to play something right quick to see if it's because it was working okay with Richie Steamboat, and then it just started jacking up. So let's play some Hail to the Chief. Let's see if it works. It's clear. Yeah. Certainly. It's, unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio decided to jack up.
They're trying to silence the voice of truth.
You need to play some what?
I said they're trying to silence the voice of truth.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah, it's certainly not
conspiracy.
I can hear myself perfectly through my podcast mic, and I played something through my actual system, Hilton Chief, and it's definitely not my speakers. Yeah, not my speakers at all. Yeah, so very interesting things there. That's okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the headlines without further ado. Here we go. Yeah, that's crazy. That's that glitch in the Blog Talk Radio throughout.
That really stinks too, because I mean, there's a couple wrestlers that I DM with on a not a regular basis, but you know, on occasion. I hear like a weird rumor going around, you know, I got a lot of guys with and over in ROH like you do, that
yep.
I DM with on a fairly regular basis, and they, you know, usually are right there on the spot, you know, to say, hey, you know, squash that rumor that nothing like that's happening, or they say,
right.
I can't tell you, or you know, they share a little nugget of information with me or something along those lines, and when some jerk has to go and ruin it for the rest of us, ruin it for those of us that are trying to get this information out there to everyone.
Yes.
Because they want their 15 minutes of fame to say, ha ha, I got you, Mick.
Yeah.
Or something stupid. I mean, why? I mean, you and I talked about this with the people that create fake Twitter handles under a wrestler's name, pretend to be them. Remember, it was a few months back, the guy who claimed that, I know we did it with Truth Martini, and we were going to do co-interviews, and you're going to interview the real guy, and I was going to interview the fake guy, and then have the fake guy on the interview with the real guy, and have the real guy.
Mike Knox.
Yeah, Mike Knox. Yeah, that's who it was. The fake guy was going around telling everyone that he was going to be in WWE, but you know what? I decided not to, and Mike Knox came on Twitter and said, no, none of that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Anyways, I just don't get people like that. I have fun on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, occasionally trolling people, but it's only for kicks and laughs, and it's only with my friends.
Yeah.
To a celebrity, minor or otherwise, you know, there's no point in that. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT, man. But no, the opposite for me. But you know, there's sometimes a thin line between, you know, bold and stupid, and you know, he's walking that line like a tightrope, man. And I don't see anything left for him in UFC, possibly Bellator, but I don't see anything for him in UFC anymore.
Oh gosh, no, his first match. I mean, I give him credit. He had a dream. He lived his dream. His dream turned into a nightmare. Let's put that one to bed. Let's mark that off the bucket list and just move on, Punk.
Yes. 38 years old. I'll be 38. Yeah, just go ahead and. Or he may have turned 38 already. But yeah, it's time for him to go. As far as, I mean, Bellator possibly. I mean, he shouldn't have started in UFC anyways. That was just a bad idea. That's like me aspiring to be a baseball player. He'll be 38 next week, actually. A week from today. So a week from Wednesday. Next Wednesday he'll be 38. So yeah, it's unfortunate, you know. Like I said, it's like me. We got some Punk is overrated comments here on Facebook Live, but I agree with you, honestly.
The big difference there, though, Chris, is going to be. No offense to you, you're a great guy and you have great listeners and great fans, I'm sure. But you're not going to sell millions of tickets for people to come watch you strike out. CM Punk had. You know, got millions of dollars in pay-per-view buys just to watch CM Punk get beat up.
Well, you know, we can
his name recognition was worth something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay. Well, with that scenario, with that extra layer to the scenario, then how about I was notorious in hockey. Okay, I was a notorious hockey player. I elicited a bunch of hate and a bunch of supporters as well. Fines. I talked to him on the phone a few weeks back, and just let's just say that he was happy. He was very happy. Not necessarily to talk to me, but he was just he just sounded very happy, and he sounded very lively, and he sounded. A bit slurred. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and it doesn't surprise me that this happened to old Matty Boy.
Are you saying he's into herbal remedies? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. You know, green of color, typically.
Well, yeah, I mean, herbal remedies are very popular nowadays.
They are. And in Colorado and Oregon, yeah.
California,
yeah, absolutely. So, this is what the situation.
Obsolete.
That's what he would like to identify himself within the jail. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Let's see how this goes as far as Seidel. But, unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to be very good. Undertaker, man, he's now on crutches having surgery. We don't know how severe it's going to be. But, you know, Shane McMahon was it for him. They're talking about Cena for 33. Is it safe to say? I mean, you know, can we all just say... You left on a high note, winning the Hell in a Cell match, something that you're known for. Shane McMahon, death-defying, you know, it wasn't an ideal opponent, but it was a very, you know, it was an exciting match to watch. You only lost one time. You're one of the, you know, you have the greatest WrestleMania record over 10 appearances of all time. You only lost once. Is it, can we just say, put him in the Hall of Fame next week, next month, next WrestleMania season, and go ahead and send him off?
I wish they would have retired him after the Brock loss, honestly. You know, I know that it would sting to go out on a loss like that, but it would have been so in line with the Dead Men character, where Brock puts him down and he just goes away.
Yeah. Got a comment that says...
Go ahead.
Hold that thought. Comment on Facebook Live that says, Taker needs to hang it up. What's left to prove? Yeah, I agree. What are you saying, Todd?
If we're going to do one last match, let's have one last match with two guys who can't really go that hard anymore that could probably pull out one decent match out of their storied careers and give the fans exactly what they want. Go ahead and just do the Taker Sting match. It won't be the hard-hitting smash mouth match that we wanted to see years ago, but we'll get that satisfying Sting versus Undertaker. You know what I mean? The Sting is kind of he might have one left in the tank.
Well, you know, Sting's the GOAT to me, legit GOAT to me. And I actually have a Sting shirt on right now that the Facebook Live audience can see. Sting still wants it. He just was interviewed not too long ago. He still wants it.
Exactly. One final match. Have them even announce the very beginning of the Hall of Fame season that they're going to put the Undertaker in, and then have Undertaker come out, say his few words, tip his hat, have Sting come out and say, you know what? No, you're not retiring until I have my match. And there you go. You have your WrestleMania set up.
The only thing about that, first of all, the sound's much better now, thank God. I can hear you very clear. But here's the thing. Sting's going to lose again, though. I don't want him to lose two straight WrestleManias, man. They've just about slaughtered his entire WWE tenure, and just losing again at another WrestleMania would just be a travesty. It'll be a travesty to me, man.
Well, Sting losing to the Undertaker wouldn't feel like a, you know, being buried like Sting losing to Triple H at WrestleMania felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a clear bury of WCW and Sting. Going out to the Undertaker, that would feel like, okay, that was respect given.
Yeah. I think they're too late. To me, if I see a Sting Undertaker match, maybe they can do it at the Royal Rumble or something. But I don't know, at a WrestleMania, Sting losing again. On paper, it just makes sense for it to happen. But just the fan in me, the Sting fan in me. Would not be happy. Paige proposes to Alberto Del Rio at a lucha event this past weekend. But Alberto Del Rio's wife's lawyer says that they are still married and they are far from divorcing. So how do you explain all this nonsense?
Crazy. I mean, stalker much? I mean, oh my gosh.
Obsessed.
I mean, she's already. Okay, what? the WWE hasn't released what she tested positive for, that she's in violation of the wellness program again. But clearly she's on something.
Right.
You know? A WWE performer, she's still contracted, shows up in a ring in Puerto Rico to propose married boyfriend.
Right.
And meanwhile, her mom and dad are tweeting out how they're such so against all of this.
Right.
Is she just trying to get her own split-off reality show on E? Is that what, you know, total crazy diva?
Total ex-divas, probably. Yeah, it's sad. It really is. She's 24. She's young. She's naive. She's been engaged before. She's admitted that she's had a problem with relationships. She got a comment here on Facebook Live saying she's trying to get fired. I agree. She's so gung-ho. She's so strung out on Alberto Del Rio, someone who is nearly 16 years older than she is, almost old enough to be, you know, an uncle. Oh, well, she is. I mean, call him Uncle Albert. He's her uncle, and it's weird. And, you know, hey, listen, if I was 39 and I wasn't married, and I see a 23-year-old, quote-unquote hottie, if I found someone who was attractive, if I was 23, it would feel weird, you know, if I was 16 years younger than someone. But if I was, you know, if I had a different mentality and knew that it was just for pleasure, I can see why Del Rio's doing that. But here's the thing. I don't think that he is on the same plane that she is.
Absolutely not.
You know, he's like, hey, I might get back with my wife. I'm mad at my wife right now. We're about to divorce. It's not finalized, though. We have 3 kids together. I just want just a side chick, you know. And she's like, hey, I want a husband or a husband. And I don't think they're on the same plane, unfortunately. Billy Corgan sues TNA, the company's millions of dollars of debt with, and I mentioned this before on my Raw review, Audience of One, their production company suing them. Tennessee's suing them for unpaid taxes. And now they just got a new lawsuit in July from American Express for not paying their credit cards. So they're reaching $4 million in debt right now. And it's about it, man. I mean, there are nearly $4 million in debt. You still have people who are not being paid, who they have yet to catch up with pay. So, I mean, from a financial standpoint, they really don't have any other choice but to fold. I mean, there's really nothing else to do.
I can't think of any. I mean, not to mention that the product is damaged. So damaged from the Bischoff and Hogan days.
Yeah.
That there was hardly any coming back from that, and then you throw on top of that all the financial woes. Put a fork in them. They're done.
Yeah. Even if they want to stay alive, they can't. I mean, they just can't. From a financial standpoint, they have to fold. They have to. Dixie Carter has to, you know, swallow her ego, put it down the toilet, digest it, you know, and say, listen, I was very bad financially. I had my parents, you know, just fronting me money all the time. Just fold the company. We lasted for nearly 14 and a half years. You know, there was a time where we were kind of competitive with the WWE. However, it is what it is. It's time to fold. It really is. They just can't. I mean, they cannot financially uphold themselves. All right, we got a few minutes. Let me know your Raw and your SmackDown thoughts. Well, let's get ready for Raw and SmackDown review. Here we go. All right, give me a couple minutes with your Raw and SmackDown review.
Okay, quick rundown. I continue to love the Jericho KO Jericho friendship. It's one of the best things on Raw.
You just made the list.
I made the list. I'm going to say I'll let you go into a Goldberg rant. However, we know Michael Cole. Hit the soundbite. Michael Cole, you just made the list.
You just made the list.
Thank you.
You got any more?
Goldberg was not even close to being the best WCW champion. Not even in the top five, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I love the line from Raw about Sheamus and Cesaro being court-appointed tag team partners. I was cracking up on that.
Yeah, that was
great. Raw is going to go with a really interesting booking for Hell in a Cell and putting the women's match as the main event. I really hope they perform, and I really hope that they elevate women wrestling to main event status with their performance in that Hell in a Cell match. It could happen as long as Sasha's back holds up, and it should be good. And finally, on Raw, I am not a Roman Reigns fan at all. I have never been a Roman Reigns fan. I didn't even join the anti-Roman fans that have come out. You know, I've always not been a Roman fan. But I'll be darned if I am not excited, or not excited, but interested in the Rusev-Roman Reigns match in Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. So...
Todd,
they
you're
got
coming
me on that one, man.
You're coming around, Todd. You've made way too many positive comments about Roman Reigns the past couple of months. It's okay. You can come around. Us Roman fans will embrace you with open arms. We're forgiving. We're very forgiving. It's totally okay. It's no problem.
I think it has more to do with Roman is finally growing as a professional wrestler, whereas
that's okay.
You know, before he was so green, and they just said, "Here, you're main event guy now," and we're all like, "No."
Whatever reason you want to give, Todd, is totally okay with me. Trust me, your secret's safe with me, and about 13,000 other listeners. So you know, it's okay.
What up?
You know, but it's okay. Got a comment. Someone agreeing with you, Todd, saying Goldberg is not the best WCW champ. They didn't stop all that from Facebook Live. Yeah, I agree. That you know, I'm a Goldberg mark. The whole moment was just absolutely amazing for me. I had to write about it on the Inquisitor. Check that out. Chris Featherstone, Bill Goldberg, the Inquisitor. So you can look at my article. I actually put it on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, too, so you can check it out there. But, yeah, it was great. I thought it was just the whole moment. Just I was such a mark in 98, and I pushed a rewind button 18 years. So it was just amazing to me. His promo was heartfelt. I talked about it a lot on the Raw. The Raw review yesterday on Facebook Live, so we only have a few minutes left. It was awesome. What do you think of Jacob Ellsworth and AJ Styles? AJ losing against Ellsworth again.
I'm trying to decide if my wife's going to kill me for getting a James Ellsworth T-shirt.
You know what?
Can we just
James
be done
Ellsworth,
with James Ellsworth already, please?
James Ellsworth... You know what, James Ellsworth? You know what, James?
You just made the list!
I can't with Ellsworth. You know how I am. I like comedic characters. I like cheesiness. I like stuff like that. But the world title level, Ellsworth is the new David Arquette is the Facebook Live comment. I just think that was just the stupidest thing, man. And to have AJ lose against him again, I don't care if it was just a DQ. He's the world champ. That just that diminishes SmackDown. The part of me wants to think that they're purposely trying to make SmackDown the B show because they were looking at the ratings and they're like, oh, this is way too close. And they're trying to make SmackDown the B show because of that. There's a part of me that strongly believes that because there's no way in the world that they would put James Ellsworth in the main event on Raw for the title. There's no way. There's no way they would do that. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, Flavor of the Week coming up.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
We only got a couple minutes left. For the week, top five opponent that Goldberg has ever had. So go from your 5-1, Todd. Go for it.
Number five, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. The beginning of the streak. You got to start there. You know, what made it was a dark match. No one hardly saw it, but it was the beginning of the streak. So you got to give that credit right there. Number four, and I think you and I got in this for a while, but Brock Lesnar. Only because of the current storyline. I know it wasn't a great match, but historically speaking, in context of the current storylines, you know, I have to give it some significance there.
I have something for that right quick as far as what Goldberg wants to do with that match.
Delete!
Number three.
Are we done yet? You done deleting me?
Go ahead with your number three while you're trying to choke me up.
Okay, let me see. Number three. I have my list here. Where'd my list go? There it is. Steven Regal, the first man to make Goldberg actually work during a match. Fantastic match. My number two, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
Nice.
And of course, number one, DDP.
Nice. I can dig it. Number five, Raven. First singles title, U.S. title. Number four, Scott Steiner. Number three, Bret Hart. Number two, Hulk Hogan. And number three was awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for enduring my sickness today. I have more sniffles than Donald Trump in the debate. So, speaking of the debate, it is actually officially Wednesday, and it happens tonight. I'm excited to see the tomfoolery that the debate is going to have. I thank you for all of the interaction on Facebook Live. Continue to join us on Tuesdays, at least for the election season for Facebook Live. So we'll be here for the next few weeks. Thank you to Richie Steamboats for coming on the show tonight. Next week, we're having Lance Hoyt, former WWE star, former TNA star. Now he's doing some great things in NWA and in Japan. So Lance Hoyt will be on the show next week, so it should be fun. Todd will be back with us as always throughout the election season. We're going to talk some more politics. We got the debate coming up tomorrow, so of course we're going to be talking about that. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other craziness that's going to go on throughout the week of wrestling to talk about. So we always have headlines. Off the Ropes podcast, let them know about it within the next 30 seconds.
Check out Off the Ropes podcast. You can find us at thenerdylegion.com. I can be found on Twitter at Mike Todd. And make sure you go check out those videos from Project Veritas. Project Veritas. Great videos, very informative. Might change the way you're looking at things. Take a look. Read up on it, folks.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. that is the show for tonight. God bless you all. Until next week, have fun, enjoy the debates, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.